I love that preaching there. The Lord was with Brother Ronnie. Tell you, he was telling that story about McDonald's there, and I couldn't help but I got to thinking. I it's almost like I could picture them employees at the McDonald's. And here comes that silver Mazda with the back rack on the back of it again. Here it comes again. He told me one time somebody ran into the back of him in the drive-thru at McDonald's and hit that bike rack. And I was thinking that guy could have just as well been better off to run into the presidential limousine as he would hit that bike rack on the back of that car. It's been a blessing to be here with you. Our souls have been refreshed and been encouraged to be able to worship with you, to enjoy the good meal that was prepared. And as Brother Kerry said, he's been down our way. Brother Kerry came and preached our summer meeting last year and was greatly blessed of the Lord, and we were so thankful to have him. And you know, we certainly want to extend an invitation to any time that any of you up here would like to come and worship with us down there. We'd love to see you, and trust that we would give you the same hospitality that has been extended to us here. I want to draw your attention just for a few minutes this afternoon. We certainly won't be before you long, and to the book of 2 Peter in the first chapter, and I'm just going to read one verse, and that's verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 1, and maybe encourage us a little bit in our walk with the Lord here with this verse. The word of the Lord reads, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Make your calling and election sure. When something is made sure, it is confirmed, it is secured, it is assured. There's not a better word than the word that the Lord used. I can guarantee you that. You know, sometimes as we give definitions, let's don't get away from the word that the Lord used. I'm just giving you a few synonyms, if you will, so that we'll be able to see what the definition of making our calling and election sure is. It's confirming your calling in an election. And there's no doubt about it. Sometimes whenever you're trying to present the explanation of a verse and trying to preach from a verse, sometimes you have to show what it's not saying before you can elaborate on what it is saying. It's just a statement of fact about the society we live in and the environment that we're in, that our minds, as pure as we try to make them, they've got some things that need to be flushed out of them before we can put other stuff in them. It's kind of like if you start with a jar of murky water and you add clean water to it, you've got less murky water, but you've still got murky water. If you'll dump the murky water out and then pour the clean water in, what you've got is clean water. And whenever you see terms like calling and election that's used here by the Apostle Peter, there's no doubt about it. Our minds, as being Primitive Baptists, it goes to the place where it ought to go, and that is that the Lord is speaking to us regarding eternal things. The Scripture tells us whenever the Lord brought us out of a state of death in trespasses and in sins, that He called us out of that state. Who hath saved us and called us. Not according to our own works, but He saved us and called us. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He made a calling, a holy calling unto us to bring us out of that state of death into a state of life in Him. And they that hear shall live. It was immediate.
Right.
It was immediate at the time that you were given the life. It'll be immediate whenever the Lord returns and the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ. It will be immediate.
Right.
It's immediate. Whenever we see that term election, we of course understand that this is the means whereby that the Lord chose a people for Himself, unto Himself. And that choice that was made from a choice out of Adam's race into Jesus' race, into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an election and a choice of God. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that called. These are eternal terms.
Right.
And so whenever you see this terminology, automatically our minds are, we're in the right place. And so whenever we see Peter saying to give diligence to make thy calling and election sure, there you have two words that are in the eternal context, and he's telling you to do something to make those things sure.
Right.
Now, you know, a lot of people will read that and say that there must be something left. He's called us. He's chosen us. In order for this to truly be confirmed in heaven, we've got to give some diligence to make sure it's secure in heaven. Well, that won't work. And we've got to get that out before we can say where this is that we need to make this confirmation. I'll give you three reasons why I don't believe that the context of this security and this confirmation is in glory. Number one is, if we'll look and see who this letter is written to. You know, a lot of times we can learn a lot by the Bible in general, just by understanding that the Bible is written that the man of God may be perfect. You know, there's a lot of people, well-meaning as they are. I have my grandparents, my wife's grandparents, they have been Gideons for the last 70 years. And they are precious, precious people. And I'm telling you, if there's ever been people that live right, if there's ever been people that love their neighbors, if there's ever been people that I believe love God, they would fit that profile. They brought me in as a boy that married their granddaughter, and I have never been treated any different than any other grandchild. Shortly after we got married, they had got a big farm down there. He's got ponds. And I remember I was going to take my brother and cousin down there to go, and we were going jet ski in their pond one Saturday. And I asked them permission to do it. And whenever I asked them permission to do it, they said, "You better believe you can go." And as a matter of fact, here came my grandpa out of the back room back there, and he gave me the key to every lock on his farm. He said, "Everything that belongs to my family belongs to you. That's love." I believe I have a hope in my heart that even though we cannot enjoy some things together here, I look forward to the day that I can.
Right.
But they hand people the word believing that that word is going to give them life. Whereby, if they would just see that the word is not meant to give life, the word is meant to those who have life.
Amen.
So that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Whenever the scripture tells us here to make our calling and election sure, let's look and see who Peter's writing to. Brother Ronnie's already mentioned this morning that the saints in 1 Peter, they were suffering physical persecution. Here in 2 Peter, mental persecution. Same group of people established by Peter that he writes unto in both letters. But he tells us in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's writing unto those that are possessors of faith. Like precious faith that came from God. And if he's writing unto ones that already have faith, he's writing unto ones that have already been given life, those that have already been born again, and their confirmation has already been made in heaven. And he's not writing and telling them that anything else is necessary. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. We have it because we've been given life.
Right.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
That's right.
You have faith because the Lord put it there. You have joy because He put it there. He put those things within us. And He told us to work out the things that He put within us. It's So there's one reason why. It's because he's writing unto ones that are already born again. The second reason why that this confirmation cannot be in the context of eternal heaven is because he's telling them to do it. That's one thing that my wife appreciated about the Primitive Baptist Church. Whenever she came from the legalistic realm into the Primitive Baptist, is that they were able to rightly divide the things that the Lord has told us he's done versus the things that the Lord has told us we're responsible for doing. That's an important distinction. Do we understand that? Because the Lord has done some things. He has done some things. And there's the things that he's done that he's never put on our plate to try to do. But nevertheless, there's some things that he has given us the responsibility to do. And this is one of them. He says, give diligence to make... You know what diligence means? It's a fervent effort or work. There's no other way to define it. In other words, this is something that you do. This is not something that is being done for you. This is something that he's charging you to do, to be diligent in it, and to be fervent in a labor or in an effort, and to work. And so he's telling us to do it. If this confirmation is in glory, what he's telling you is the confirmation and your home in heaven is secure through your works.
Right.
You believe that this afternoon? Not even folks who really do believe in works will be willing to say that. They'll still tell you it's not the works, but we don't believe that. He says, who has saved us and called us, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, not of works.
Right.
Not of works. You know, you could go to Titus chapter 3, go to Ephesians chapter 2, and you all can quote them as good as I can. Those are places you can go whereby the Scripture firmly establishes that heaven is not of our works, but yet he's telling them to do a work. Mm-hmm. So we've got to remove the... And the lastly, but not least, the surety for eternal glory, it was made in heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what David said in 2 Samuel 23:5? He said, although my house be not so with God.
Yes.
Meaning his life. You know, he's referring to his own self when he says his house. He could be referring to his lineage after him, which would be true because his house was under turmoil because of his own sins. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet the Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. The surety was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the surety for the debt. The debt has been paid. You know, everybody that's got a debt, there's on the loan title, you know what there's a listing for? The surety. Who is the surety for the debt? On mine for my house, I'll tell you whose name's on it. Boy, I'll be glad when my name is off of that and I've got that title in my drawer. Right now, my name is on the surety because I'm responsible for it. Whenever it came to the children of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was on it. He was the surety and he has confirmed it, and nothing else in glory is required. He says, give diligence to make thy calling and election sure. It's not in glory, but there's still another place where the Lord says it's important that it needs to be sure, that it needs to be confirmed. Brother Ronnie alluded to how the first Peter was written to those that were under physical persecution. These were in mental. You know, if you think about it, it's a lot the same as the world in which we live in. You look a couple of hundred years ago, what was the persecution against the church? It was physical. You look at the challenges today, and we're here freely. We're here freely. I don't suppose, unless I get on the gas a little bit harder than I did whenever I came up here, that I'm going to be bothered by any law whenever I go back through that mountain and go back home this afternoon. The Lord has blessed us with physical freedom to do what we do. But where is the devil attacking? He's attacking our minds, which is where the Lord has inspired Peter to write unto the saints of God to tell them that in their minds, that there's some confirmation that we need to make sure that we do, and there's a way that we do it. He outlines the steps that are necessary to do it. He says, giving all diligence. He says in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance godliness, and godliness brotherly love. He outlines and he says, if you'll do these things. Notice, he didn't tell them to get faith. You know, that's very important. He said, add unto your faith. Because the faith came from the Lord.
Right.
And those things that he gave them, he told them to add to what he had added to your faith virtue, which is moral uprightness, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. He says this is the way that you can continue to confirm in your minds what you are. I tell you this morning, this afternoon, this afternoon on the preacher, just like this afternoon on the crowd, we can refer to the wrong time of day too. I'll tell you this afternoon what you are, is that you're sinners by nature. That'll wake you up if nothing else will. If you thought I was going to start off with the gentle side, you're sinners by nature. You're unable to come to God in and of your own power, unable to do anything of yourself. But the Lord has given you life, and you're a child of the King. You're a child of the living God. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And one of the things that this devil would love to do is to rob you from the joy of understanding and knowing that you're a joint heir with the Son of God. That you've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. You want to talk about perfection? We will not reach it in and of ourselves. But praise be unto the Lord that we have the knowledge that we are perfect. We've been conformed to the image of His Son in the eyes of God as if we have never sinned. Boy, that's good, isn't it? That's not good. I'm not just talking about preaching. I'm talking about that comforting truth that in the eyes of God we are without sin.
Amen.
Man. Brother, I need that confirmed in my mind. You want to know why? Because sin is present in my life. I can tell you that. But the more I serve Him, and the better I keep myself in these out. He said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Is what He said in the verse after it. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. You ever seen a garden that's just dried up? I got one now. My summer garden's gone. And I've made an excuse that it's too late to try to plant a fall one. I got green bean vines that's just rotten out there on the vines. But I keep thinking that the green bean vines are keeping the weeds from coming up in it. And I keep telling myself, if them weeds will come out, if them weeds will stay out of it, I'll plant some turnip greens one afternoon whenever I get home. But it looks terrible. Just old rotted vines. You know there's children of God in this world just like rotted vines. And I'm not telling you that for us to gaze on them and pick on them. That's the way they look in the eyes of the one who gave them the capacity and the capability to bear fruit for Him.
Yeah.
But they're not doing it. And they're drying up on the vine. And he that lacketh these things is blind and hath forgotten, cannot see afar, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Somebody may ask the question, you mean to tell me that a child of God that's been brought to the knowledge of the truth can get to the point of darkness where he's forgotten what he was? This verse says that it can happen. They can die in that condition. It doesn't mean that they're not going to glory just like every other child of God. But they, you know, those in Corinth, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, those that had abused the Lord's Supper, he told them that for this cause, some of you are sick, some of you are weak, and some of you sleep. And that sleep wasn't talking about taking a Sunday afternoon nap.
Right.
That meant that in that condition, they departed this world. They were in this shape that's listed here.
That's right.
But he said, give all diligence to make it sure. For if you do these things, he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I understand this is talking about a walk with Him here in this world. But I believe that in a way, that the way that the Apostle Peter is encouraging us is to depart this world on our way up. Depart this world walking close with Him, as opposed to walking away from Him.
Yeah.
Walking away from Him.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times when I've walked away from my daddy in this world and I didn't feel close to Him. There's been a time when I've walked away from my Savior and I didn't feel close to Him.
Right.
Oh, but when I've done like I should, I feel like He's nigh me. I feel like He's next to me. I feel like I can take on this old rotten world. And that's what Peter is encouraging the saints of God in here. To make your calling and election confirmed in your mind. You're a child of the King.
Right.
Live like it. Enjoy it.
Right.
To be seated at the royal table. At the table with God. Oh, what a blessing it is. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention.
Amen.
This week.
Amen.
God bless you.